I want to take a detour from Luke and take a look at those Psalms that were written allegedly by Haggai and Zechariah. And for the purposes of the people in the that listen on the web, I'm going to run through those things about Haggai first. Haggai is a word that means feast or celebration. And he was 10th in the order of the prophets, of the minor prophets. And he lived very soon after the captivity began. He probably was alive. We know the exact date that this was written in because it was the period in time in which he was exhorting the people, and it was from September to December of 520 BC. And the book is probably and more than likely a summary of what he said. Now, the Psalms that are associated with him are Psalm 111, Psalm 125, 126, 137, 145, 146, 147, and 148. We'll read those in a minute. He was a member of the Great Sanhedrin, and as we've talked about before, it says that 42,360 Jews returned from Babylon 16 years earlier than this book. And they were tasked to rebuild the temple under the king Zerubbabel. They set about at once to restore the altar of burnt offering and the cornerstone. And that's all they finished. And they sat around for 6 months. Or 16 years, excuse me. But Haggai and Zechariah aroused the people, and the building was resumed in 520, and the structure was completed in 516 BC. There was all kinds of activity in the world at that time, mostly about what was happening in the Persian Empire. The basis of Haggai was that the people's apathy and procrastination was not due to a lack of means, because Zerubbabel had given them all that was necessary. But it was to prove or to show that they were in reality poor. And again, poor by the traditional meaning that says they weren't able to complete a thing, not they weren't able to complete the things that they were trying to do in their own lives, and they weren't able to complete the temple. So anyway, let's read those Psalms.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how big a task that is to take on building the kitchen. Yeah. The amount of information and having to do everything that's perfect and people who can do it.
Well, it's also, the reason it's so important, the reason we read it last night is because it must be, Haggai's only function and only purpose in life was to rebuild the temple. And ours must be, we are the stones of the living temple, living stones of the new temple. We are being fit together, but it can only happen when each of us abandon ourselves to his mercy and faith. As long as we're doing our own thing or concerned with our own selves in any way, then we inhibit the Maker's molding of us so that we fit within the mystery of the bride or the temple or whatever parable we're using. Amen? Okay, Psalm 111. Let's praise for the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given food unto them that fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and they are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his praise. Wait a minute. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now you can, and again, remember the context in which all these were written. Exhortation and praise for what was happening. The next one is Psalm 125.
That's also about, you talked about his wealth. I mean, this is true wealth. This is internal, not external. Yeah. So
right, and it was also external here because of all the money that Zerubbabel had given to rebuild the temple that was in the temple treasury. Mm-hmm. The same is true with us. We have all that is necessary if we set our hearts and minds to do only his will. 125. I'm glad it wasn't 119.
Why?
Because we've been reading, forever. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Now this is obviously one of the Psalms of Ascent. Now the Psalms of all of the feasts and the order of the feast and the Psalms to be read at which time, the three-year cycle, and all this was done by Ezra and Nehemiah at this time. So they included some of the psalms that Zechariah and Haggai had written in the Psalms of Ascent. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, and from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. And as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. And remember, iniquity, the workers of iniquity, remember, iniquity is Aven. It means self-realization, self-seeking. All right, the next one is Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, and that's what had just happened. They were captives in Babylon. Babylon was then under the control of Cyrus. And so he ordered that the temple be rebuilt. And so 42,000 came back, and this is their thanks. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen?
Amen.
Now 137. By the river. This is the important one because it defines when you can praise him. You can only praise him when you you are in Zion. And since we know we are in the New Jerusalem, then our praise can be real instead of used as sorcery. Okay? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, or destroy it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art thou? Who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. That's pretty rough. 145. And again, interrupt me if you see anything. Amen. You got to. I mean, you see, you get, you're understanding where you are now in this mystery. They had returned to Jerusalem. They had started to rebuild the temple. Then, through Haggai and Zechariah's exhortation, through their lack of zeal and their sloth, then Zechariah and Haggai exhorted them to go about this mystery of God, and herein they are rejoicing. I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked one shall he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. 147. praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for he is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, and he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. And that's who came back, remember? The 42,360 that came back from Babylon were the poor and needy. The rich stayed in Babylon. They had too much to lose. Now remember what Babylon symbolized. Babylon forever and always has symbolized cause and effect. As long as you're living in cause and effect and you are successful after your own eyes, you'll never hear. That's why it says, come out of her, my people. He healeth the broken heart, the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and great and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked one down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, and praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, and prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains, he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope only in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gate. He hath blessed thy children with thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statute and judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. One more, 148. It's, again, these are all praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all the deep. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth this horn or strength of his people, and the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Remember, you cannot really praise him unless you're in Zion, in the New Jerusalem, on the mercy seat. Otherwise, you just do what you would to anything. If something good happens to you, you say, oh, wow. But true praise cometh from the heart, and its location of sphere, it's in the New Jerusalem is where we can praise him. Everything that they were doing at this time typified this New Jerusalem and the building thereof. Amen? Any reaction on any of this?
At one place where it said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, reminded me of what Paul, you know, saying that, you know, I'm determined to speak of nothing except Christ.
Amen. What Christ has completed in me, or wrought in me. And remember, I'll just read these. This is, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:5. And then in Revelation it says, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, prepared as a bride for her husband. Anyway, I thought you'd find it interesting to read the Psalms that they wrote at that time and the background of why they were praising him and what was going on. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything else?
I'm just thinking about this nature of praise and where it comes from. If you are in the mercy seat, if you are in the place of understanding and seeing, praise takes place. It happens. You do it genuinely. Other than that, you're having to say that praise is what I should be doing. So I think I'll do it in praising here.
Yeah, I mean, you do it. You know, the big scripture that says God inhabits the praises of Israel. So the mind says, therefore, if I'm praising him, God's inhabiting.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with that. If you're in him, on the mercy seat, as Gary said, then praise is automatic.
Yeah, it just burns up in you.
But if you are not, then your praise will only be an act of sorcery. And that's really sad. You can sing all the songs you want. It can be beautiful music and great words. They're meaningless. How can I praise in a strange land? All right, notice all the rollover minutes I've collected. Take a big guy.
Wow.